more abundantly. Amen. But today's society seeks to steal, kill and destroy. You know, you see the news, you hear the news, a bomb's gone off here, a bomb's gone off there, somebody's being killed here, somebody's creating a false famine there, somebody's stealing from somebody else, somebody's beating somebody up. And that's the world today around us, isn't it? And then we have to say, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. But today I want to talk about how to stay sane in an unsane world. How do you stay sane in an unsane world? Wow. Many people having breakdowns. There are many people who are going to doctors for medication because they're depressed. So they have uppers and they have downers. When they get too high, they give them something to bring them down. When they get too low, they have something to bring them up. And so they go through a cycle. And they're looking for some form of peace. They're looking for joy in their life. They're looking for some form of satisfaction. And they can't find it. So they go to drugs, they go to drink. And they still can't find it. The last trip weren't good enough, so they go for a bigger trip than the one before. And they're constantly seeking and searching after something that is not there in the tangible range, in the realm of the natural. But you see, the problem is, there is a void in everybody's life. Yeah. And that void is God. Yeah. You push God out of your life and there is a void there, there is a vacuum there that people seek to try and fill. They'll fill it with toys, games, fast cars, houses, clothing, jewellery, drinks, drugs, you name it. They're just something to fill the gap. And when they've had everything, when they've had all, they're still a void. Yeah. So all they've done is they've filled it with garbage. Yeah. And you know what happens to garbage? It starts to rot. Yeah. It starts to stink. And it becomes a stench in the nostrils of God. Yeah. And yet the children of God are a sweet smelling savour. Mm-hmm. In His presence. Mm-hmm. And I today want to be a sweet smelling savour in the presence of God. Hallelujah. I want to be sane, not insane. Amen. Some people say going to church, well, you must be stupid, you must be daft, you must need checking out. Well, I've been checked out. God's checked me out. And everything's fine. Hallelujah. I know where I'm going. Praise God. And I thank God for His blessings of His word and His life to me. I'm not saying that it's an easy road, because being a Christian is not an easy road. Being a Christian is a road where you fight the good fight of faith. And you run the race. And you run the race to the end. Yeah. And you run it to finish it. And everybody who finishes wins. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Praise God. There is a prize for everybody that finishes. Yeah. You see, it's not about first past the line. It's about running the race. Yeah. And it's about finishing that race. And it's about glorifying Jesus. It's about being a testimony and a light to our Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to stay sane in this insane world. How many people do you know that are on some form of medication? Anybody know anybody that's on some form of medication to keep them, as the world says, balanced?
Yeah, me.
Ooh. What, you're on it? Right, we need, yes, well, you need to hear this word then. Hallelujah. How many know people? Yeah. I'm sure there's a few that we know. And they're on chemical dependency of some sort. Some of it's legal as far as the law's concerned. But as far as God's concerned, God can meet that very need. God can set them free from that need by filling their lives with Himself. And I hope to just today begin to point you in some directions to help you stay on this road of sanity. Hallelujah. Don't want you going off onto a road of insanity. Let's stay on the road of sanity. Hallelujah. It takes us all the way to heaven. Praise the Lord. If you will turn with me to Psalm 1, please. Turn to Psalm 1. You know, David one time, he feigned insanity once just to keep out of the hands of the wicked. But note, the word says he feigned it. Well, that means he must have seen a few insane people around in his time. Because if he could feign it, he obviously had seen people who had a God void in their life. Remember the man that Jesus met? The madman of Gadara? They used to chain him up in caves and he used to snap the chains. But yet when he met Jesus, Jesus broke every chain, he broke every fetter, and he took the emptiness in his life and he filled him with the power of God. Amen. And he drove out everything that he was dependent on that was not of God, and he set him free, and he was in his whole right, sound mind. Amen. And Jesus said, go home and tell your family. Go and be reunited with your family and tell them about the glory of God. And Jesus does it so that we shall see the glory of God in our lives. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. What does that mean? Blessed is the man and woman who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Watch what company you keep.
Amen.
Keep the wrong company, and guess what? You start to be like them. You start to get like them. You start to talk like them. You start to act like them. You start to be like them. And before you know where you are them.
Yeah.
And you've suddenly changed. You're no longer yourself. You've become like somebody else. I think Bill said on Wednesday about the type of company that you keep. Somebody said something about it Wednesday about the type of company that you keep. Keeping different, you keep the right sort of company. Pardon? Who? That was it. That's right. That's what you said. I knew there was a. You become like what you hang around with. Glory to God. And if you want to go higher in the things of God, hang around with people who are already on the way. That's the way. Don't hang around with those who are just happy paddling in the shallows. God wants you to go into the depths and to press on with Him. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Don't get in the walk. Don't walk the same pathway that sinners are going. Don't hang around with the sinners in the sense of making them your friends all the time. But you go there to be a light. You go there to spread the gospel. But you don't make them your permanent company. Jesus is our company. And so we need to realize that more and more that we are to go out, yes, and spread the word. We're to bring sanity to an insane world. North sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Watch what you say. It's quite easy to get caught up with people who are sarcastic.
Yeah.
And they start bantering around, sarcastic comments around. And before you know where you are sucked into that same pattern.
Yeah.
You begin to talk like them, you begin to think like them, and you begin to act like them. And then somebody says to you, you've changed. What do you mean? You become like the company that you keep. Wow. Do you know who the best company is that you and I can keep? Anybody got a thought? You're all quiet today. You're all afraid. Don't come on. I mean, just who do you think you should keep company with? The Holy Spirit, believers, Jesus. Get in contact with God regularly. The Word says that He's the author and finisher of your faith. And if you want to stay sane, then the being that created the universe and all that is in it, and He's the one to be in contact with. He created all things. He knows you inside out. He knows He knows how many hairs are still upon your head this day. He knows if any fell out this morning when you brushed your hair, when you showered. Wow, how can He do that? I don't know. But the Bible says He does. And God is far bigger than me, and I'm not going to argue with Him. The Living Bible says this: oh, the joy of those who do not follow evil men's advice. There's joy in not following evil men's advice. Yeah, but they'll think I'm a party pooper if I don't do what they say or go where they want to go. Well, it means standing for your faith. It means standing and being an example. Because where they're going is where sin is abounding. And does God want you in that situation until you have become strong and able? No, I'm sure He doesn't. Oh, the joy for those who do not follow evil men's advice, who do not hang around with sinners, scoffing at the things of God. That's what people do today. They poo-poo God. They poo-poo creation. They talk down about it. No, it evolved. Well, where did they get the dust from? Where did they get the first atom from? Where did they get the first electron from? God. The Word of God says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And the world today scoffs at God. They scoff at Him. They scoff at His ways. And they scoff at those who believe in a Creator. They say we're foolish. But that's in line with the Bible. Because God says that He uses the foolish things to confound the wise. So that's okay, we're in the right place. We've been pitched into the right place and we're going to do the right things that will bring glory to God. But you know, we have to trust God's Word. We have to trust and let our faith develop and grow. That it will cause others to sit up and rethink what they're believing. Verse 2 in the Living Bible says, but they delight in doing everything God wants them to do. That's a good man. And the day and night are always and day and night are always meditating on His law, thinking about His ways to follow Him more closely. They are like trees along a riverbank, bearing luscious fruit each season without fail. Amen. Praise the Lord. Their leaves shall never wither, and all they do shall prosper. Yeah. So you're going to bear fruit. Yeah. Luscious fruit. You know, where it runs down your chin. You know, you bite into that. Ooh, and it's real. Makes your mouth water. You've got to take another bite. You know, people need to catch a glimpse of God in that light. That once they've tasted, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when we begin to taste and see that the Lord is good, and the fruit does not fail. You don't have a crop failure. God does not intend for any of you to have a crop failure. Now you watch your mouth. Don't curse your own crop. Watch your mouth. God, the Word of God says there is life and death is in the power of the tongue. Don't curse your own crop. Don't bring your own crop failure. That's not God's plan, to bring His children to a place of crop failure. God will always provide. Oh, don't forget, there's seed time, harvest, and there's winter. But that's okay, because there's been an abundance along the way that you've got in your barns that will bring you through till the next harvest. The Word says, "My God shall supply all my needs according to Bill's riches." Oh no. But according to God's riches through Christ Jesus. You see, our contact, our delivery to us, our supply line is through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we're not going to be withered up by the heat. When the heat gets turned up, when the fires are lit around us, our leaves will not wither. When the frosty winds begin to blow and winter's on its way, we still have our leaves. We still look good. We're still green. And you know what green means? Green means life. We look good. I mean, surely you've had folks say to you, "How old are you? Bah, you look well for your age. 24. Is that a rough life?" Have you noticed that though? You see people who are of a similar age. Maybe you meet old school friends or people that you knew a few years back, and you look at them and you think, "Ooh, you have aged." You know? And you look in the mirror and think, "I don't look that bad." Have you had people, I mean, they look at you and think, "Well, you look good, don't you?" "Yeah, I'm good."
Yeah.
Well, I'm not talking about beauty. I'm just saying, folks, some folk, you look at them and think, "Bah, you've had a rough life." And do you know what it is? They smoke that many cigarettes, it destroys the skin, they drink that much alcohol, it destroys their bodily functions, they can't sleep, they have no peace. You know, the Bible says He gives His beloved sleep.
Amen.
Why? Because God knows that you need to rest. Anybody here doesn't need sleep? Put your hand up. All volunteers, I was going to say, you could go on midnight prayer watch. You know, you could pray all night, every night for us. That'd be fine. We'll rest on our pillows knowing that you're praying for us. Glory to God. But we all need sleep, don't we? And God says He gives His beloved sleep. Who's His beloved? Anybody here?
Amen.
Amen. I'm one of His beloved. I like to sleep. When I get to bed, I like to sleep. I don't always go to bed too early, but I like to sleep when I get there. Glory to Jesus. There's no point in laying in bed and being awake. You might as well be doing something. Glory to Jesus. But when you get into that bed and that you pull that quilt over and that soft pillow and that temperature, then you drift off. Hallelujah. And you know the prayer. And you know that you are resting in the arms of God. You know that there is an angel stood by your bed. You know, some people are afraid to go asleep because they're afraid they might not wake up in the morning. Dear God, I mean, that's one sure way of dying quick. And yet, God is around us to protect us. He sets His angels around us to guard us, protect us. So the moment we lay our heads down, there is an angel by the side of our bed.
Amen.
Speak to Him and charge Him. Protect me this night. Cause me to dream the dreams of heaven. Cause me to see the visions of heaven. And allow me to know the mysteries of my God. You pray that prayer and God will begin to give you the dreams. You say, well, he's never done that before. No, until I tell you why, because you've never asked him before. Don't just ask once and say, well, it didn't work. You aren't trying. We've two little girls here today. What's your name? Jordan. And what's your name?
Shannon.
Lovely to see you. Wow. Now, I guess when it's your birthday, you know what you want, don't you? And I guess you tell your mummy and daddy what you want, don't you? And I bet you tell them more than once, don't you? I bet you tell them quite a few times, just so they don't forget. Is that right? And same when Christmas comes. You tell people what you like for Christmas, don't you? And you keep telling them, don't you? I know I used to do. Well, why is it for us as grown-ups any different? I didn't get what I wanted. Well, how many times did you ask? Well, I only asked once. You know, God wants to know whether you really want it.
Yeah.
Do you really, really, really want it? And sometimes little girls and little boys, mummies and daddies wait to find out, does my Jordan really, really, really want this gift? Or is it just a fad? Because we have fads, you know. Even as adults, you have a fad, don't you? You get faddy with food. You know, you think it only... Well, I know you don't, Ken. Children get faddy with food in particular, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, I can remember as a child, I won't eat cream. Didn't like cream. Remember as a child, I didn't like beetroot. I tell you now, as an adult, I still don't like beetroot. Nothing's changed, you know. I'm still the same. I like cream like now, but cream don't like me too much at times if I have too much of it. But glory to God, you know, it's for the upkeep of the building. Hallelujah. Luke didn't used to like salads, did you? Still don't. We're working on it. One time he won't eat lettuce, but you know, he comes to see Auntie Grace and he eats Auntie Grace's, so I mean, I don't know what the problem is. And so our leaves are not going to wither. We're going to look delightful. We're going to look a blessing to people. And people are going to see, why is it you've got peace? Why is it you look so good when the world's in so much turmoil? Why is it you look so good and you've been in prison? Not through any fault of your own. Not through any wrongdoing. Why is it you look so good? Because the peace of God and the saints of God have been standing by your bed praying for you. You might not have seen us, but we've been there. We sent angels to stand around your bed while we prayed. You've got to realize that these things actually happen. You've got to start realizing there is a depth of spirituality happens when we pray. It will bring you to a place of sanity and realization that God is real and that the things of God are at work around you and that God is changing things around you and God is not intending that you be dependent on some drug to keep you sane. God is not intending that you need to take something to make you happy. Oh, I don't know. They're looking at a few of you. Maybe you do need something to make you happy. Yeah, I know what you need. You need a dose of joy.
Amen.
The thing is, you can't get it on prescription. If you did it, it cost you a fiver. No, to you, some of you lot. Yeah, I know it's free. But, you know, I mean, to some of us that go and go to work, etc. and that, and do other things. £6.50 now, it's gone up since the last time I went. So, you know what I mean, if you want a dose of joy, it's £6.50 a pill. You know, you get into the Word of God. And it's there, it's free for you. That's it, that what you meant? All right, that's okay, that's fine. Glory to God, I misheard you. But yeah, the word's free. The joy of the Lord's free. This is the medicine. You know, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like medicine. And you know, the word tells us that we're to stir up, let the word stir us up, and we're to be stirred up. Now, there's a different story for sinners. In the Living Bible it says, but for sinners, what a different story. What a different story. They blow away like chaff before the wind. We've heard about chaff this last few weeks, haven't we? On the threshing floor. Don't you worry, God will put them on the threshing floor and he'll see what comes up.
Yeah.
And God will blow through.
Yeah.
And when he blows through, he blows away the chaff and he leaves the good things.
Yeah.
He leaves the food. He leaves that which is important. He leaves that which is valuable. And that which is valuable causes us to live a life of sanity.
Amen.
I'm not insane. Some folk, when I gave them a job up, probably thought, many years ago when I gave them a job up, they thought, have you lost your marbles? You know, people who were not Christians, you must be insane to pack your job in and all that money that you're earning and your company car and to give all that up and to get basically nothing. Well, I ain't doing bad on nothing for the last 20 years. I've grown in size. Only a little, but I have grown. I ain't shrunk. And so I know that my God can supply all my needs according to his riches. I could tell you stories about how we could sit down and work out on a calculator that when we'd finished at the end of the year, we should be in the red. We should be owing money. We should be in debt. And the end of the year comes. And we've got money in the bank. And you think, how did God do that? Because I certainly didn't do it. But God performs miracles. He has this strange calculator.
Give him. He can never, God never disappoints you. But he does require us to stand firm and to let him deal with the situation. And this week Andrew and I had a couple of, he had one and I had one, situations where the devil sought to rob us, and Andrew had a large bill that he was faced with in the company, and he was paying for something that he didn't want. He told them he didn't want it, and they said that there was no way he could get out of it. And so we prayed and we said, all right, God, we take this to you. You're the righteous judge of all the earth. You deal with this and give us favour. So Andrew got a demand note, a solicitor's letter, and said they were taking us to court.
Again.
So he rang this company and he was very firm. He actually got the same person that he always speaks to, and he kept saying, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Don't want to talk to you. But eventually this man listened to him, and because he stood his ground, God gave him favour and they wiped the bill off. They credited it and said, we don't have to pay it. And then I'd got a situation where I'd applied for a credit card, and they told me that did I want to take out payment protection insurance on it. I said, is it going to cost me anything? And they said, no, only if you get overdrawn. So I said, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to pay it off every month. Anyway, when the first bill came, they'd put me £50 on for payment protection insurance. So I rang them up and I said, you said I weren't paying anything for this. And they said, oh, it's only if it's a nil balance at the end of every month. So I said, what's the point in having a credit card when there's a nil balance on it every month? I said to you, if I pay it off every month, then I won't incur a charge. And she told me no, only if I didn't pay the balance off and I kept running it on month after month. And so I said, you've missold it to me. So she said, no, I haven't, you misunderstood it. So I said, well, I wasn't clear on the facts then, but I shouldn't have to pay it, this is not what I signed up for. Anyway, she said I'd have to pay it, so I rang somebody else and they said I'd have to pay it. So I left it overnight and I rang somebody else and they said I'd have to pay it. So So I said, well, put me through to somebody else. And eventually he said to me, oh, we've been very lax. We've definitely missold it, you. I'll credit it, you. And the other three people said I'd have to pay for another £50 next month. So I said to him, and what about next month? He said, you won't have a penny to pay. It's our fault entirely. And I thought, praise God. You know, don't give up at the first obstacle, at the first hurdle. Just pray. Make sure you pray first and give it to God. And then give it all you've got and God will reward you. Amen.
Amen.
The devil's not robbing.
Amen. Amen. There's one bit I want to read, but I'm going to read a portion up to it, just put it into context.
Way that leads to life and life eternal. That leads to a God that says, you're in your right mind. But you say, well, everybody around me says I'm crazy. Do you hear God? Do you see miracles? Do you see God? Do you see answers to prayer? If you do, you ain't crazy. You're not crazy. I know. She's singing. She's agreeing. She's saying, thank God I'm not crazy. Hallelujah. She's praising the Lord, having a great time. She's at peace. She's resting in the presence of God. And she's letting you know that. Just letting you know that she's still here, by the way, and she's listening to every word. Every word that is spoken goes into that child's spirit. She hears. So you speak good things over her life. You declare the glory of God over her life. You declare the power of God over her life. When Jonathan and Louise were little, they used to go to bed, and when they'd gone to sleep, I used to go and pray over them. You can blame me. That's okay. I used to go in. They didn't know I was there. They did not need to know I was there. They did not need to know I was praying, and neither did anybody else, only God. Doing a work. Seeing God set the captives free. Glory to His name. Isaiah chapter 26 says this. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvations as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps faith may enter in. Thou dost keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in God. Who are you trusting today? Trusting your bank manager? Trusting the government that we may elect in the next few weeks? Who are you trusting? Who are you trusting? Psalmist, is it the psalmist that says some men trust in horses, some in chariots, but he trusts in the living God. And it's about trusting in the living God. It's not about trusting in what you have. Because, well, if you've got a motor car, you say, well, you know, I'm trusting that motor car to keep going. All motor cars suffer from the same thing. Wear and tear, decay, rust, etc. But that's okay. We still have a God who will provide all our needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. We still have a God who, no matter when things go wrong, He will supply what we have need of. And I thank God for that. And so, the pressure's off. The pressure should be off for us. So many Christians panic when things appear to be going wrong. Instead of doing as the Word says, cast all your care, cast all your worry, cast all your fears, upon him, upon God. Because he cares for you and he cares for me. So God says, cast it all on me, he says. Just hurl it at me. All your fears, all your anxieties, all your worry. See, God can handle all of this. He knows the end from the beginning. We should be knowing the end from the beginning. Because we know the beginning and the end. We know the Alpha and the Omega. His name is Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we know him who knows the end from the beginning, read the end of the book. Read the end of your Bible. It says, we win. We win. We're victorious. We have a home in heaven. We're going to spend time. We're going to be in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. And we're going to be in his protection forever and ever. And his glory will be around us forever and ever. Hallelujah. And there's going to be no more tears forever and ever. There's going to be no more pain forever and ever. Now those of you who have suffered pain, who've known pain or even have pain, there is coming a day when it will all go. But let's pray and believe God that it will even go in this lifetime that we live now. In this physical body that we live in. Before we are changed into his image in a twinkling of an eye. When the dead shall be raised. And we shall too shall be caught up with them to meet him in the air. We sang a couple of weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, I don't know. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. Hallelujah. We all worry about time, don't we? Oh dear. Don't hurry up. I must be late home for my dinner. I've put this in the oven and it's cooking and it'll be burnt. Well, we'll have burnt offerings and sacrifices, praise God. Hallelujah. Don't worry, we'll deal with that spirit of sarcasm. God would not enjoy spirits of sarcasm. It's of the enemy's camp. It's of the enemy's camp, that's all right. We'll have that out. That'll be sorted. Glory to God. And so we can rejoice in what God does for us, can't we? Can we rejoice? Say, I will rejoice.
I will rejoice.
I like that. Do that again. I will rejoice. That's right. Yeah, it's a determination. I will rejoice. You know, it's a slap in the devil's face. I will rejoice. Amen. It's not a case of I will rejoice. That I ain't convinced when I see that. Yeah, I'll rejoice. Yeah, I'm real happy today to be here. Yeah, you look it. You know, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. We've got everything going for us. You might say, well, you don't know the trouble I'm going through. Yeah, but the word you've just used, the trouble that you are going through, that means that you are going through it. That means you are coming out the other side, out of trouble. You've left most of it behind you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Lord, give them some more trouble till they realise that they've left most of it behind them. Hallelujah. You know. Amen. I mean, I'll pray that prayer if you want. You know, Lord, increase their trouble until they rejoice. Who'd like a dose of that prayer? Just come out now. I'll pray with you. Nobody volunteering? Oh, dear me. Did you want some? Good. God says, I will keep him in perfect peace. Hallelujah. God wants you to live a life of absolute, total sanity in this crazy world that we live in. You know, people get drunk to forget about their problems. They go out and party and pop pills to forget about their problems. And then they come, and for those of us that go to work and that these days, and people come in and they say, oh, I had a great weekend. Yeah, did you? Yeah, what did you do? I don't know. I can't remember a thing about it, but I had a great weekend. and I've got such a hangover. It's like, well, how do you know you enjoyed it if you cannot remember a thing about it? I have no idea. I like to remember what I enjoyed. I don't know about you. Then I can sort of go over it again and think, I'll do that again. That really was great. I loved every minute of it. But not to be able to remember and then go like this, you know, literally sort of, and I don't have any money left neither. And yet I can say, well, thank God, you know, my God has supplied all my needs and wants, and He's blessed me with an abundance, and I thank God for that. And you know, when trouble comes against us, I don't fight trouble. I go to God, because I know He can fight trouble better than me. And I let God loose onto the situation. What are you going to... You know, when trouble starts to hit you, when there are problems on the way, when things look as if they're going wrong, most people panic. Start making plans. Do you know what I've started to do? I've started to turn to God and say, God, I don't know what's happening. I really don't. But I do know that You know, because You're the God who knows all things. Therefore, God, I give it to Your hands, and I'm just going to take on what today brings and live today and enjoy this day, because this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will be glad and rejoice in it. Amen?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Praise God. And so, tomorrow, I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. I might be caught up to be with Him. You don't know you're going to be here tomorrow, so why worry about tomorrow? Glory to God. You can't change tomorrow in the sense of what's going to happen, but you can change the way you go through it. I'll say that again. You can't change tomorrow, but you can change the way you go through it. The way you approach it. The way you attack it. Have you got the Word of God in you? Have you got the peace of God in you for that day? Tomorrow's Monday. Most people, when they hear that, they'll go to work and go, oh no. Monday morning blues. Oh, it's bank holiday this weekend, isn't it? So Tuesday's going to be the bad day, isn't it? Now, you know, Tuesday, oh, I've got to go to work on Tuesday. Oh, it's all fair. I've got to go to work, you know. People get fed up with it. I don't want to go. Take on the Lord. Take the things of God and go through that day and bring it to a day of victory. Bring it through to a day of victory. Look into the face of your Creator. That's what you need to do. In this world where there is so much insanity, where there's so many fears, where there's so much going on that would seek to make you afraid every time you turn the radio on, the TV, read a newspaper, a lot of it's not true. As Bill was saying, there's more good news out there than there is bad news. Now today on the news you will not hear this, right? That a young man who is living in the Doncaster area, going to a small local church fellowship, at this point in time has been released from prison. His name's Patrick. You won't hear that on the news. You'll hear there's been an explosion somewhere. You'll not hear that in a small church last week God healed somebody. That the saints of God prayed and somebody got healed. You'll not hear that somebody got saved. You'll not hear these things. You'll hear about robbery. You'll hear about murder. You'll hear about abuse. You'll hear about attacks and violence. When did you last hear something good on the news? Quit watching it. Quit watching it. Some good news in here. This will change the news that's in this world. If this news gets out, and if it comes out of your life and out of my life, it will change people around us. That's the good news that we need to be reading. That's the news that we need to listen to. I stopped buying newspapers many years ago. We once had a holiday club with 120 kids in. And a reporter had heard about it locally. Came down, they took photographs, they did an interview with us, and then they put on that we had 20, 25 children. On the photograph you could count 75. I said, never again will I give an interview, never again will I bother buying a newspaper when, I mean, they cannot get facts right. Simple facts. What chance have they got about getting anything else right that is has some depth about it? I mean, this was simple. A photograph, 75 kids, anybody could have just, you know, let's just correct that. No. They don't want to know. If you ring them up and say, that's not true, well, we've printed it and that's it. I'll tell you this. This book's been printed many, many times, and it is still true. This is a true book. This book doesn't lie. This book speaks life, health, wholeness, prosperity, blessing. It brings the mind of God into our lives. Praise His name. When did you last look into the beauty of God's creation? Did you hear the birds singing? Have you heard the birds singing just lately? I was out on the driveway yesterday afternoon, and there was a goldcrest. They're singing of the glory of God. They're singing about the glory of God. Have a look at God's creative handwork. Have you looked at the flowers? Have you seen the blossom on the trees? Phenomenal. Pinks and whites. And the trees are full of these beautiful flowers. And Doncaster in particular, you find streets where there are streets strewn with beautiful trees in blossom. Absolutely fantastic. Every one of them is different. Every petal's different. Everyone is an individual. And do you know what? God gave them life. God gave them life. Just as He gave that little baby life, God gave them life. As He gave you life, God gave you life. And you're an individual. And if God can put so much into the blooms, and they're here today and gone in a few days' time, and yet God can put even much more into you. And He intends to. Because He wants to see you bloom. He wants to see you bring glory to His name. And so, look at the creation. Look at the butterflies. Look at the bees. I don't know about you, but the bees are out. They've been buzzing around. Great big bumblebee. You look at it and you say, how can this thing fly? I mean, it's not even... It's nowhere is it aerodynamically designed to fly, this thing, as far as man's concerned. If man built something like a bumblebee, it would never get off the ground. Just couldn't do it. And yet this bumblebee, you hear it come by. And you think, wow, some of them are as big as your thumb. Amazing little creatures that fly by. And the butterfly. Great big wingspan, and it flies by, you never hear it go by. Travels, it can travel on the wind hundreds of miles, and you never hear it. You only see its beauty. We need to be like Adam was in the beginning. We need to learn to walk in the cool of the day with our Creator. We need to learn to walk in the cool of the day with our Creator. That's what I'll keep you sane in this unsane world. Pick up your Bible and begin to talk to Him. Begin to let Him feed you. Let Him speak to you. And you speak to Him. Read it out aloud and talk to Him about His Word. And you find that He'll speak to you. Because it's the Creator who wants to walk with you in the garden. He wants you to have His joy and His pleasure. And the only thing we need to do is acknowledge our sin. If we've sinned in any way, just acknowledge our sin and get back into right standing with Him. Get back into right relationship with Him. And when we do that, He'll walk in the cool of the evening with you. He'll spend time, He'll talk with you every day. Every day. He'll never miss. He'll always be there. The problem today is men and women don't want to talk to the Creator. They don't want to get involved with God. They seek constantly to deny His existence. Science constantly tries to deny the power of God. Because, you know, if we have to, as scientists, if we have to acknowledge that there is a Creator, a being that caused these things to come to pass, then it means we also have to acknowledge that we are sinners, that we are sinful beings, and we stand as nothing before the Creator, and that we need to repent and change our ways. But the world doesn't want to do that. The world wants to do its own thing and go to its own disaster. Yet God wants to see us lifted up. He wants to see us glorified. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, where can I go from God's Spirit? Can we flee from His presence? No. He says, O Lord, You have examined my heart, and You know everything about me. Wow. Think about that for a moment. God knows what's in your heart. He knows what you've thought today. He knows what you've planned today. Do you know something? He even knows what you've got planned for tomorrow. Whether you've consulted Him or not, He knows. Wow. He knows everything about you. He says, you know when I sit or stand. When far away, You know my very thought. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment, You know where I am. Parents don't always know where their children are. But let me tell you this, children, God knows where you are. Your parents might not know. And you think, I'm not going to tell them neither, because if they knew, they wouldn't like where I am. And I'd get my ear bent. And I'd get into some trouble. But let me tell you this. God knows. God's watching. And you'll get into even bigger trouble when God gets on your case. That's a certainty. Because God wants to see you being a blessing. God wants to see every one of you, from the youngest through to the oldest, moving in the power and the anointing of God. You know what I am going to say before I even say it. You know. Sometimes husbands and wives know what they're going to say to each other even before they say it. They get that close. They get so in tune. And you and I need to get in that relationship with God so that literally before we open our mouths, He says, yes, I know, and He gives you an answer. It's like, wow. And that you know what God is going to tell you to do because you've got so close to Him. psalmist says, you both precede and follow me. He goes before you and he follows you. And place your hand of blessing upon my head. This is too glorious, too wonderful to believe. I can never be lost to your spirit. I can never get away from my God. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of death, you are there. If I ride the morning wind to the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me, your strength will support me. If I try to hide in the darkness, the night becomes light around me. For even darkness cannot hide from God. To you the night shines as bright as day, and darkness and daylight are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvellous, and how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How precious is it, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards me. And when I awaken in the morning, you are still thinking of me. This is the psalmist David writing. This he knows, that God is constantly thinking about him, his eyes constantly upon him. No matter what happens to David, God will be there. God knows where he is. God knows the situation. And let me tell you this, he's doing exactly the same for you and for me. He knows where you are. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're thinking. He knows the troubles you might be getting into. And he's there to lend a hand to get you out when you call unto him. He cares for you every day. You and I need to remember that in our lives. It's time to meditate on the different aspects of God. Time to give God true praise and true worship in our lives. Remember to learn to walk in the garden as Adam and Eve did. Ecclesiastes 12 says, and this was for the young people. This is Solomon. That lets you out, Philip. This is Solomon. Ecclesiastes. Solomon decided he was going to try life. He decided he was going to be a juvenile delinquent for a while. That's what Ecclesiastes is. It's Solomon being a juvenile delinquent. And the Adam in them days, don't you worry. And he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, when he's had his time, he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. God is wanting you as young people to remember him while you're young. Don't forget him while you're young and say, I'll leave it till it for later. Because you're going to miss some great things. You might even miss the best. You're young, you're energetic. You've no responsibilities or little responsibilities. You can do what you want for God. You can go where you want for God. You can be radical for Jesus. You don't even have a reputation. Or you might think you have. You know, posers, you know. Hey, Luke, you know, flash your dark eyes at the girls and flick your hair up. Eh? You don't have a reputation to lose. People expect young people to do foolish things. Well, do them for God.
Amen.
Do them for God. Get a reputation of being a red hot fire for Jesus. It is said that the more we understand of God's creation, the more we seek to ignore God. The world no longer speaks of God's creation, but rather we talk about man's environment. Man's environment happens to be God's creation. Is that not true? They talk about this environment that we live in. It's God's creation. But you see, we bring it to a lower level. We take God out. We take God out, then we don't have God to contend with when it comes to our sins and our iniquities and our everything else that we're in. This is not man's environment. This is God's creation. This is God's creation. You are God's creation. That which is around us is God's creation. God wants you and I to realize that His focus is on you and for me. And if we would focus on Him, He would set us free from all our fears. We wouldn't need drugs to set us free from fear. There's a fear of the Lord, but there's a fear of the things of this world that drive people to insanity. People become imprisoned in their homes because they're afraid to go out. And that's because man has decided to take God out of his environment instead of letting God be the creator and maker of this environment that we live in. If we would put God first, we would see greater things happening in our lives. And the answers for you and me is to spend a little bit more time daily.
Amen.
With our Lord.
Yeah.
With our God. You'll recognize His lifestyle. You'll recognize His voice. And you'll know the way He's directing you. When you spend time with some people, you get to know people and you know what they're thinking. You know what they're going to do next. And you know it because you spent time with them. And if you spend time with God, some people say, "Oh, I don't know what God wants me to do." No? Do you know why? You're not spending any real time with Him. Quality time. Don't just dash through your daily reading and, I've read me everyday with Jesus. I've read me word for today. I've spent my time with God. No. Sit and commune. Sit in His presence and just say, "Lord, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to tell me, Lord? Lord, I just want to sit in your presence." You know, people who study art, for instance, they could take you to an art gallery and they could walk around, and without being there before, they could look at a style of painting and they would tell you who painted that painting, because that's his style. And the reason they know that is because they've studied the paintings over the years and they know the style. Constable. What's the other guy who paints matchsticks?
Lowry.
Yeah, that's an easy one, isn't it? You know, you'd see a few paintings in art gallery, you go, "Oh, that's Lowry." How do you know that? Because these little matchstick people, that's his style. I know you don't need to do a deep study on that one, but you know, I'm trying to just show you that you can recognise that's a Lowry. And God wants you to recognise him as he begins to move. I'm nearly done. And so if we spend our time listening to God, listening to his voice, we'll know his voice. And I don't want any of our young people to miss the opportunity of learning and understanding the presence and the importance of living in the presence of God. The world may have some bright lights, the world may have some entertainment and some noise, but it lasts for a moment. And when the moment's passed, God is still here and eternity is still with us. and there is a lifetime to be lived. And God wants you to live the lifetime, not regret the life that you lived. And that is an important word to watch. Live the life with joy for the future. Don't live life regretting your past. Live the life for the future in God, and know the power of God in your life. You know, King Saul regretted his life in the end because of the way he treated David. And because David respected King Saul, even through the worst times David respected him, God honoured David. And David lived the life as a king. Even when he wasn't king, he lived it as a king. And today God wants you to live your life as kings in the presence of God and in the presence of others, to bring glory to the name of Jesus. And not live in fear, not live afraid of this world, but live in the knowledge and the sanity that God is on the throne. And God has got you in the palm of his hand, and he's caring for you every day. So if you want to live this your life without pills and without drugs and without electric treatment, and you want to live in this world and be sane, then get into the Word of God. Let the Word of God feed you. Spend time in the presence of God and know the power of God, and seek God for a move of his own power in your life. Because God is prepared to move in your life. God is prepared to move and use you for his praise and for his glory. This is what was said in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 21. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands hath he recompensed me. You know, if you're going around with clean hands and a clean heart, God will reward you accordingly. But if you're mixing with the wrong crowd, going around with the wrong people, doing the wrong things, then God will reward you accordingly. It's what you sow, so shall you reap. God wants to bless you and to minister to you. Sow good seed and stay sane in a world that is insane. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Amen.